Krishna. Krishna's explained up to the platform of developing our love for Krishna. Then he's mentioning we should depend upon Krishna and work under Krishna's protection. And in such devotional service, be fully conscious. And he mentions that if you are conscious, then one will cross over conditional life, and if not, then one will be lost. And if you don't follow this, Krishna is saying, follow your nature and do it for me. If you don't do that, you still follow your nature anyway. But the difference is one will be in illusion. Like that. But one will still act according to nature. That point remains. So now Krishna explains here about the super soul. Text 61. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. O Skaina Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme eternal abode. So he's before explained confidential knowledge. So now this is called still more confidential knowledge. So Prabhupada points out here in the purport that the Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. So this knowledge is then superior to the other, that we understand we're Brahman, that is knowledge. But understanding how the Supersoul is situated, and that's considered more superior, or more confidential. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, some say that taking shelter of the Supersoul, as described here, is meant only for worshippers of the Supersoul, whereas taking shelter of the personality of Godhead is later going to be mentioned as appropriate for the worshippers of Godhead. Someone else, however, may say, the same Sri Krishna, who is my worshipable deity, is also my spiritual master. He is teaching me bhakti yoga and giving me helpful instructions that lead to the development of bhakti yoga. I take shelter of him. That same Krishna is indeed the Supersoul within me. May he kindly impel me in all activities. I take shelter of him. Such a devotee constantly thinks in this fashion. So it's interesting. He points out some may say like this, and then others may say like this. But in this kind of case, then what is the second is generally our opinion. It means his opinion is this. In other words, the Lord, some will say, all this talk about super soul is, you know, that's for yogis, everything else. But we as devotees, we're only talking about Krishna. So here, the point is we understand, yes, we only think about that form, to our form of Krishna in Vrindavan. But that same Krishna has come and is sitting in our heart. And he is directing us as the Chaita Guru. So he is our spiritual master. He is guiding us. So this becomes then very nice meditation for the devotee. And then with time, naturally, then that develops, and then we're always able to absorb ourselves in thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But otherwise, then we also understand that same Supreme Lord is coming and sitting in our heart. He is directing us. Srila Baladeva Dibhushan explains Krishna's words thus. You should in all ways take shelter of that Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, with the activities of your body and so on. You will achieve the Supreme Peace, characterized as release from all kinds of distress, and also the eternal abode, the personal residence of the Lord, glorified in such Shruti statements as Tad Vishnu Parama Param. That Supreme Lord is none other than me, your friend. This is proven by my previous statements, such as, I am seated in everyone's heart. It is also proven by your agreement to this in your own statements made in accordance with the authority of Devarshi Narada and others, such as, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Abode, and by the empiric evidence of your vision of the universal form. Therefore, you should follow my instructions. So we've already accepted that the Lord is supreme here, and Krishna is saying it himself, and Arjuna is also agreeing with that. In the 11th canto, after seeing the 11th chapter, after seeing the universal form, then he also said, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. So therefore Krishna says, thus you should follow my instructions. You know, I have said it, and you have agreed with it, so now you should do it. Then now Krishna will come to the next, more confidential. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. And this is, so this text is 64. So Bhurijan points out here that the Lord has used the word bhuya again to indicate he has already spoken this knowledge. Srila Prabhupada explains here why and what Krishna spoke previously. Quote, the Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the super soul within everyone's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of knowledge. Just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the 9th chapter, he said, Man Mana, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, chapter 9, which contains the verse beginning Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakto, is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. So because this point of surrendering to the Super Soul is the most confidential, then this is the final conclusion that is here. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has commented on these two verses. Thus the six chapters teaching jnana have reached their completion. These six chapters of the Shastra, Sri Gita, are jewels of spiritual education. They form part of a treasure chest containing the rarest secret of bhakti. The first six chapters dealing with karma form the golden lower part of the chest. And the third six chapters dealing with jnana form its gem-studded cover. The bhakti found within is the most precious treasure in the three worlds. It has the power to bring Sri Krishna under control. It shines brilliantly as the most excellent of precious gems. The key to obtaining this jewel is the pair of verses on the cover of the treasure chest. The sacred 64 syllables beginning Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakto, text 65 and 66, the next two. Seeing his dear friend Arjuna silently deliberating on the Gita Shastra with its deep meanings, the Lord felt his heart melt like butter out of compassion and said, my dear friend Arjuna, I will now speak the essence of this entire Shastra. You don't have to exert yourself anymore with this troublesome deliberating. So now, here is the first of the two keys to this treasure chest. 65. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. So Bhurijan then mentions here, as the most confidential knowledge, Krishna reveals that Arjuna and all others should do four things. They should always think of Krishna, they should become devotees of Krishna, they should worship Krishna, and they should offer Krishna their obeisances and all their homage. In the second part of this verse, Krishna reveals the result of practicing these four elements of devotional service. It means that one will come to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's purport then says, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. one should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise that anyone who is in such pure consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend of Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. It's that nice one. Prabhupada made the point. We want Arjunas. You know, nothing less than Arjunas. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying the flute, the bluish boy with the beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multifarious forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So this is many interesting points are here. This point of being friend, this will come up more later also. But here the friend means everyone comes friend, meaning that the one in purpose, that one's desire to please the Lord becomes the prominent feature. That is, so that what that Shakya means, you understand the Lord's desire, what he wants. Krishna's coming here, he's preaching this Gita. He's trying to save people. So we understand that point, then we also become friend. So Krishna is saying, because you are my very dear friend, then I'm speaking these things. So this is an important point, is that those who are engaged in this way, those who preach, those who try to benefit others by their service, then they become his dear friend that Krishna likes to reveal this knowledge to. So that's a very, very important part. Another very important part is that here Krishna's Prabhupada saying that one should concentrate his mind on Krishna, two hands carrying a flute, religious, and wearing a peacock feather, as is described in the Brahma Samhita and as what is standing in front of Arjuna. Right? Now, some may complain that, well, who is standing in front of Arjuna? This is not Braja Krishna, but this is Vasudeva Krishna. And then some will even say that even Vasudeva Krishna doesn't wear peacock feathers and this and that. And, you know, so many things will be said. But it's interesting to note here that Prabhupada's pointed out here that this is... But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. So now the point is depending upon your mood, Krishna will manifest. So if we are on that platform, we can... We may think, we will think just of Krishna and Braja, and we don't think of Krishna in the battlefield. But then a problem comes up, because Krishna says, Yeyatamam prapadyante comes to Bhagavad Vajanamaham. As you surrender, I will reciprocate. Now, if we think of Braja Krishna, but we don't think of him in pure, unalloyed love, means on the platform of prema, like that, or at least on the platform of bhava, then we are going to be acting within the realm of the rules and regulations. And we have our conditioned nature. So Krishna is going to reciprocate with us on that platform. That means we are only going to be seeing Vasudeva Krishna. He's going to reciprocate with us like that. So we may say what we like, we may read whatever books we like, but that is the fact. That is the way it goes. So the point is this is the same Krishna. But depending upon how the devotees relate to him, he manifests, he reciprocates with them. And because he reciprocates with those who deal with him according to rules and regulations, therefore he's called Vasudeva Krishna, the son of Devaki. And when we relate to him in pure bhakti, then he will relate to us as Raja Krishna. So that aspect is there. So ultimately we can say whatever we like, but reality is reality. But we know it is that Krishna and Raja who has come to perform these pastimes. So we will see this form of Krishna standing for Arjuna, but we will also remember that his original form, or let's say the original mood, because here Krishna Prabhupada is saying this is the original form, it's the same original form, that original mood that you will find in Vrindavan. So the point is the form will be the same, the mood will be different. So that means he's carrying his flute, right, even though on the battlefield. Now this brings out a vision that is not well understood, you know, by many persons. And it brings up a topic on this very point where some will complain, how do you have Radha Partasarati? That here you have Krishna on the battlefield, you know, where's Radharani? So this can be said, those who read the books and their viewpoint is from the books only may say these things, because they will make so much distinction between these two. Right? They will make so much distinction between these two. Therefore, Krishna may manifest in that way. But the point is here Arjuna is dear because he's his friend. So friend means knows the heart. Right? Someone who's a friend means they know your heart. So here, we can make that comment as long as we don't know Krishna's heart. Then we can say, yes, this external, what I see externally of Krishna is different from what I over here is externally of Krishna. But even that has a defect. Because Krishna in Dwarka and Krishna in Vrindavan are going to look the same. Right? Means Uddhava goes back and forth, the residents of Vrindavan are thinking of them there. When Nanda Baba went with Vrindavan, with Krishna to Mathura, he didn't say, now you look different. No. So externally you won't see any difference. And Prabhupada's made that point, you must meditate on this form. The difference will be internally, means Krishna's mood. Means there's no difference, of course, between Krishna's inside and outside, but Krishna's mood. So that mood may appear to be different, but it's because there are these devotees. So Krishna in Braja does have devotees that reciprocate with him with according to Vidhi. Therefore he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, just to be with them, spend some time with them. But those who have studied and understood the Shastra then understand that Krishna's heart is no different. Because they are like this. They reciprocate like this. He's spoken it. He has said, as you surrender, I'll reciprocate. So they were surrendering this way, he must reciprocate. Therefore, his heart doesn't change, but his just dealings change. So therefore we have the same features of Krishna externally, and we have the same his same mood within his heart. Just how he'll reciprocate with the devotees changes. But that's happening also in Braja. Because otherwise if we want to take this argument to its end, then we can say, well, Krishna in Vrindavan also, because when he's with Mother Yashoda, then it's a different Krishna than when he's with Radharani. Or when he's with the cowherd boys. So then when we say Krishna and Braja, we only mean this, so that means we won't think of anything else. We don't want to hear, see, touch, smell, anything of the other forms. But somehow or other the others don't mind. Radharani doesn't mind peeking out from the curtain and watching Krishna sitting with his cowherd friends eating with Nanda Baba. She doesn't just sit in the kitchen and I'm not watching this. I'm only interested when he's with me. No, because this is Krishna. They see his wonderful form and they know his heart. Therefore, there's no problem. So this is Radharani's understanding. I mean, of course, we want to take a different viewpoint in Radharani's. But Radharani accepts the reason Krishna dances with all these other gopis, the reason that sometimes he doesn't come and he's not with me, he goes off with other gopis, is because he's made this promise that as they surrender, he'll reciprocate. She says these very words. But he says, of course, he doesn't experience as much happiness as when he's with them and not with her. But that's why he doesn't. And how does she know this? Because she knows his heart. So that means while Krishna is with these other gopis, he's thinking of Radharani. And Radharani knows this. Because she knows his heart. Right? She is very dear. Others may not know. So therefore, similarly, then Srila Prabhupada knows Krishna's heart. Therefore he understands, even though he's on the battlefield, he's reciprocating with Arjuna and all the others, and this one, Bhishma, and so many other devotees there. But what is actually in the core of his heart? He's still just thinking of Srimati Radharani. So Partha, when we say Radha Partha Sarthi, then that means if what is being revealed is that within Parthasarathi's heart, all he is thinking of is Radharani. Even though he's on the battlefield doing all this, he said, he maintains the whole material world with just a portion of his, just a fraction of his expansion. So surely he can drive a chariot and reciprocate with everybody else there with just a portion. If he can manage the whole place, surely then just to drive the chariot is not going to take too much. You know, it's not going to be an overstrain for him. And so what is he actually thinking of? He's thinking of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Radha Partha Sarathi. This is the Rasik Bhakta. Yeah. This is the recommended understanding. Like that. Therefore, Vishwanath, and this is confirmed by Vishwanath previously, he says, some say that taking shelter of the Supersoul is described here is meant only for worshippers of the Supersoul, whereas taking shelter of the personality of Godhead, later going to be mentioned, is appropriate for the worshippers of Godhead. It's the same as some Bodhias will say that worshipping and understanding and appreciating Krishna's form on the battlefield is not actually for the Bodhias, as for others. Ours is just Radha and Krishna in Braj. So that's okay, as long as we don't understand Krishna's heart. Then we can take that view. If we want to take our own view, this is what I want. I'm only interested in Braj and Krishna. Okay, fine. But if we want to take what Krishna, his view, and Radharani's view, and all the others' view, then when Krishna came, took Radharani's mood. Now, Krishna came to preach. Right? So if coming and dealing with the material world and all that is not connected with Braja, it doesn't have any connection with that, why would Krishna then take Radharani's mood? He'd just keep his own mood. Or if he wants, then he's dealing with the material world, he'd take Lakshmi's mood. Like that. Why is he taking Radharani's mood? Because she cares, she's the most compassionate. She is the personification of Krishna's compassion. Therefore, she has, if he wants to give what no one has ever given before and preach widely, he has to take her mood. Like that. means others have come and taken that mood. Ramanuja, Madhva, they've all come in that mood, worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan. So that compassion that Lakshmi has, they'll have it. But now something that's never been given is to everybody. So Krishna takes Radharani's mood to do that. So the only reason that there is the Sankirtan mission is because of Radharani's mood. That must be remembered. Krishna has come to perform his activities and preach. And that will be the externals of it. Because one must do activities. And Krishna says, I come and I do activities. And his internal mood for taking was to taste what Radharani is tasting. But it's in that mood of Radharani that he's preaching. That must be remembered. That is very essential. Otherwise, someone will think only when he's in Gambira, in Radharani's mood there, then he's actually tasting that. Right? So externally, what you'll see and what will be accomplished is the Sankirtan mission. Internally, he's tasting what Radharani tastes. But, according to the definition, as they surrender, I will reciprocate. In Kali Yuga, nobody surrenders. So therefore, Krishna cannot reciprocate. Otherwise, if that was going on, Mahavishnu would have already saved everybody. But no one's surrendering, and Mahavishnu is in the mood of Krishna, as Vishnu. So therefore, how anybody, no one's reciprocating, no one's surrendering, what can I do? So he therefore worshipped Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and said, only you can save them in this form, because you take the mood of your devotee. And the devotee doesn't care if you surrender or not, they'll go and preach to you anyway, try to save you. Krishna won't disturb your independence. You don't want to surrender, he won't disturb that. But the devotee will. So when Lord Chaitanya is preaching and doing his Sankirtan pastime, he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And it's only at certain times when he takes the mood of Krishna or Vishnu. Is, you know, the door. When he sat on Srivas Thakur's Srinasan. What's that? Mahaprakash. But there's a name of that. Seven Praharas. Because Asta Prahar is 24 hours. Prakash means 21. So then, there he takes the mood of Raha, sometimes he takes the Nishringa, you know, a few things like that. But otherwise, he's in the mood of Radharani. So therefore, there are Sankirtan pastimes. Thus, all these great acharyas from Braj, they have come down to help in this, because they know his heart. This is what he wants, so they've come with him. And therefore it goes on. So one has to be very, very cautious when seemingly presenting a very high rasik platform, but actually not fully comprehending the full point. If the full point is Krishna has taken this mood of Srimati Radharani, therefore the preaching pastimes are going on. So the preaching, he's also tasting that. Externally, he's come to do that. That's the Yuga Dharma. So Krishna said before, when I come, I also work. If I don't work, then everybody else is going to be a lazy bum also. So he's working. But he's working in the mood of Radharani and tasting that. So also on the battlefield, he's reciprocating with Arjuna, doing all these things. At the same time, in the core of his heart, he is thinking of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Radha Bhartasarja. So this is also very important point. Then Prabhupada's mentioning here that one should try to arrange one's, or not try, he should arrange one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. Like that. So whatever we do should be arranged so that we think of Krishna. Then if we can do that, then Krishna will. The Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such a pure consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, whether be engaged in association of Krishna face to face. And this most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend of Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. So this perfection does not mean that we end up on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This perfection means that seeing Krishna face to face, this is his rasa, so his perfection is there in this way. But the point is that the perfection is that one is seeing Krishna face to face, one is serving Krishna in this way, because one has understood what is Krishna's mood. That is the oneness. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, two, the living entity and the Lord, but the Abheda is that they are one in purpose, one in mind, in the mood. Then it becomes very nice. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, then he states like this. Then this is Krishna speaking. You will come to me, achieve me. So therefore, offer your mind to me, or else offer your ears and other senses, or else offer incense, flowers, and so on. I tell you truly that I will give you even my own self in exchange. You have no reason to doubt this. Then the Amarkosh, he's describing here, the Amarkosh defines satyam as meaning a vow and the true facts of a case. Yet Arjuna may reply, but people born in Mathura district always make vows. In every sentence they utter, they use the word satyam. Krishna replies, then I say this, I make a solemn vow. You are dear to me, and no one cheats someone who is dear to them. In Baladeva Vibhushan, and he states that Krishna is speaking here. As explained before, if you develop the quality of always thinking of me and so on, you will certainly come to me, who am your beloved friend Krishna, the son of Devaki. I have qualities such as being dark blue like a blue lotus flower, and I appear in a human form. You will not go to some other form of mine, like the thousand-headed Purusha, the thumb-sized super soul, Lord Nisringa, or Lord Varaha. This is my vow, that in truth I will give you possession even of myself, your friend. Then Baladev points out, the non-artha varga defines the word satyam as a vow and the true facts of a case. Yet Arjuna replies, but because you are from Mathura, even your having made a vow does not destroy my doubt. To this Krishna responds, then I say this, you are very dear to me, and the affectionate people of Mathura do not deceive those who are dear to them. What to speak of deceiving one who is most dear? He to whom I am very dear is also very dear to me. I cannot tolerate the absence of such a person. As I have already said in the words beginning, Priyo hi, and so on. Therefore you should trust my words. You will indeed achieve me. So this bringing out the point that Krishna is from Mathura, so he may say whatever he likes, do whatever he likes. Like that. So Krishna points out here, no, that may be with acquaintances or people that are not from Mathura and that, but people who are dear, then they never cheat. That is there. The Mathura Vasi is there. Very, how do you say?
Diplomatic.
Huh?
Being touchy is very diplomatic.
Yeah. But here is just, they don't cheat those who are dear to them. In other words, their own kinsmen, their own community, who is, what do you call it? In other words, nepotism reigns supreme there. means if you're near and dear, then everything's fine. If you're not, that's another thing. But he's pointing out here, to Arjuna, you're very dear, therefore don't worry. That my vow still stands. Then Burijan brings up, one may doubt that he is able to take advantage of Krishna's words and render the quality of pure devotional service that Krishna has requested. Should he first undergo renunciation, austerities, and vows to purify his heart so he will enhance his ability to surrender? And Krishna says, 66, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. In his purport, then Srila Prabhupada glorifies full and immediate surrender to Krishna's service as the process that will qualify us for that service. Quote, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts it is said here that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. Later in his purport, then Prabhupada explains the uselessness of worry and hesitation. The particular words used here, masu jaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. Then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna says, previously I told you that you did not have the qualification for the most excellent unalloyed devotion to me. At that time I said, whatever you do, whatever you eat, and told you that your qualification was for karma misra bhakti. Now, however, by my special mercy, I have given you the qualification for unalloyed bhakti. I have violated my own rule that unalloyed devotion may be obtained only when somehow or other one receives the mercy of my pure devotee, just as I will violate my own promise while fighting with Bhishma. So this point of, because Krishna has described this whole thing of the yoga ladder, that one may think that, well, I'm not so qualified to surrender to Krishna. So therefore I should purify myself by karma yoga, jnana yoga, like this. But the point being made here is that Krishna is going to, if we surrender, he's going to free us from all these reactions. He will take care of all that. So therefore, we surrender to Krishna. That aspect is there. Then whatever stage we're at, whatever platform of service, then we will... we get that benefit. We surrender to Krishna. So it's not that we have to wait. We surrender now and then follow the devotional process and come to that platform of pure unalloyed devotion. And here, then, for Arjuna, then his special mercy is given that here he's saying you don't have to go through. He's recommended the whole Gita that he follow this karma misra bhakti or this nishkam karma yoga. But now he's saying, I will violate my own rule. Even without the blessings of the pure devotee, he will give him this platform of pure love. So, essential point here also is that we are getting our devotion from the pure devotees. They are giving us that. They are the ones who give. When they give, then Krishna gives his mercy. The Lord's mercy follows the devotee's mercy. Therefore, to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to the Krishna mission is the worst. If you blaspheme them, where is any chance of getting pure love? Not possible. Can't be. Because the very means how you get it, you've just criticized. Therefore, you criticize the Vaishnavas, then naturally Krishna is not going to he's going to reciprocate accordingly. Okay, you criticize the Vaishnavas, so then accordingly you will also not get their mercy. That's the reciprocation. And with that reciprocation, it makes it really hard to get pure and avoid devotional service. So
he's saying
this for Arjuna. Now, however, by my special mercy, I have given you the qualification for unalloyed bhakti. I have violated my own rule that unalloyed devotion may be attained only when somehow or other one receives the mercy of my pure devotee, just as I will violate my own promise while fighting with Bhishma. Because otherwise, if this was meant for all of us, you would probably see it in Prabhupada's purport. So this is specifically just in the pastime of their discussion. But the point is Krishna's rule is this is how you receive. That. Because he's most dear.
When he says that you just surrender unto me, but we're going the process that we're following according to our understanding, according to our position now, is either Kamishwara. And doing our duty to surrender to Krishna, and that is that's what we're trying to surrender to Krishna, this is how we're doing it.
Mm.
Right? Because we got this concept. But now he's saying give that up and just surrender, so
not exactly. Because the point is this will come up in a later point. I'll read that. This is in connection with verse 73. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti adds the following exchange between Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna replies, "What more can I ask? Abandoning all dharmas, I approach you for shelter. I am now free from anxiety and have full trust in you. Henceforth, having taken full shelter of you, I will accept your order as my dharma. You are the suitable bestower of shelter. I no longer follow the dharma of my ashram or the processes of jnana yoga and so on. From now on, I will have nothing to do with any of those." Then Krishna says, "My dear friend Arjuna, there remains a little work left in the matter of my relieving the earth of her burden, and I want to do this through you." So in other words, from the point of just trying to liberate ourselves, following the Vedic Dharma, and all that, that is not the approach. The approach is that this is Krishna's work, it's his Sankirtan mission, and he wants these things done. And the Acharyas have come and said that this is how they want it to be done. So therefore, this is what we follow. So Krishna, Arjuna said there, following your order is my dharma. So Krishna's order is follow it like this.
So nishkama, sakama, these are all his orders.
His specific order is the nishkam. Sakam is not recommended. If you can't do the nishkam, then the sakam. Because nishkam means the madhyam devotee. Is that one should endeavor for that. One accepts the sakam if one can't establish oneself in nishkam. But one has to understand the goal and try to cross that. Otherwise, if one's satisfied that that's enough, like so many devotees will say, "Well, that's the way Prabhupada did it then." Yeah, that was 25 years ago. Prabhupada also stood in the line going to the bathroom. You know.
So what's the difference between nishkam and surrender division?
It's the same. But we are following the path of nishkam because it's Krishna's order. Just like the point of, like Krishna will say, offer me a fruit, flower, fruit, a flower, a leaf, or water. So now we understand from this is all vegetarian foodstuffs. So now we could say, okay, so the ultimate, I understand, the ultimate thing is to become vegetarian. No, the ultimate thing is to eat those things that Krishna eats. He happens to eat vegetarian. So that's what we offer and that's what we eat. So we're interested in what pleases Krishna. That it happens to be vegetarian, that's a side issue. That's not the important point. So following a Nishkam Karma Yoga and that establishing oneself on the platform of goodness, that's not the point. The point is that we want to please Krishna. We want to follow his order and direction, and this is his order and direction, therefore we're doing it. Otherwise we can get distracted, like we before. There was one devotee who pressed very much the point, you have to situate yourself in goodness. And just all his lectures were just about how to get yourself to goodness. But personally, we couldn't care less for the mode of goodness. We want the mode of transcendence, because in that platform we'll serve Krishna. But if we use the platform of goodness as a medium of establishing ourselves so we can perform proper devotional activities, then we accept it. But making that as a goal, that is a misunderstanding. Therefore, to become perfect nishkam karma yogis, that's not our goal. That is just a tool we use. You know, just like we want to cook lunch, we may use a pot and a spoon, but the pot and the spoon are just incidental because they happen to work. So we surrender to Krishna means we're thinking of what is our goal. We want to please Krishna. So we don't absorb ourselves just in varnashram, like performing my prescribed duties nicely, and so I'm doing nicely, so you know, what's the problem? No, it's not perfect unless it's being done for Krishna. And then it's because it's Krishna's order. Right? I can do it for Krishna, but is that, okay, it's here and the Shastra says this, that. But it's still on the direct path, but you're not surrendering necessarily to Krishna as a person. You surrender to his order, but that Krishna as a person has given this order. So that's the difference in the flavor. So that is the best. Krishna has recommended. Do like that. Of course, he's mentioned before, that's the best. Now here he's reiterating it. He said, the best is you just surrender to me. If you can't do that, then you follow these other levels. So these two are like the essence. Is that you just surrender to Krishna and absorb yourself there. Because on that full surrender, there's no duties to perform. Because one has fully surrendered. But one still performs duties. One still performs duties for the mission and for the set example. But if we're not on that, then we perform those duties because it's Krishna's order. This is how we're going to come to that platform where we don't need to follow the duties, but we're still going to do them anyway. In any case, the duties will be done. So therefore it's done. And we also see here, it comes out very clear, because he doesn't give all the purport and everything here. If we go to Bhagavatam, because this is the final order, as it mentions, this is the end of the Gita. Abandon all varieties of religion. This is it. The Gita's over here. Now, after this, then he's going to start telling about it. What's the benefits, what you do with it, who you give it to, who you don't. It's the end. But this is the end of the Gita. Right? Then, Bhagavatam, you have your invocation, which you can count as the Bhagavatam, but you count as the invocation of the Bhagavatam. So verse 2 is where the Bhagavatam starts. And that starts with Dharma Kaitabhotra. Throwing out the cheating religions. And that we see in the purport and in the verse, it means those religious activities that have nothing to do with Krishna. So performing prescribed duties not in relation to Krishna, that's all being thrown out in the Bhagavatam, right there in that first verse. So we see that here's the last verse of the Gita and the first verse of the Bhagavatam. It's saying the same thing. Therefore, the Gita is the preliminary to of the Bhagavatam. And then the Bhagavatam is, and it starts right on that platform. Where the Gita exactly ends, the same verse, that's where the Bhagavatam starts. There it makes it very specific. Any religious principle that's being done that does not have Krishna as the goal, without being done to please Krishna, that is thrown out. So then we can understand, we have to act. So we are either going to act, if we throw out the religion, say, let us just take the point. We throw out religion. But we as conditioned souls, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit down right now and just chant Hare Krishna and meditate on Krishna? and that's it. That's the alternative. If we interpret this verse like that for ourselves, that means is that's what we have to do. You have to this moment abandon everything, all prescribed duties, sit down, and then do it. And that's it. No duties, just chanting. 24 hours. So then naturally we'll say, well, that's not possible. So then we go to the next step down, Nishkama Karma Yoga. Which means all the first six chapters and last six chapters. And then what is the purpose of that? Be done in bhakti. Then it becomes perfect. So these two are the keys, how are we going to get it to bhakti? But that chest that's holding it is the karma yoga and the knowledge to operate that. That's the body of the trunk. Means what actually is holding it, and then the lid. Right? And then these two verses are written on that lid. And those are the keys by which you get in. So you have to understand that it's the whole process. Samanda Abhideya Prayojana. But we have to know where we sit. And then it gets applied. Because after this, then, if this was that, give up all things, just surrender, finished. Then after that, then Arjuna would just become a paramahansa and walk off and go to the forest, right? But he picks up his bow and fights, which means he's performing his prescribed duties. So thus we can understand abandoning all varieties of religion means anything that is not in connection with Krishna. Otherwise, then Arjuna would have perfectly exemplified for us what to do after hearing this. Which is coming up. Should we continue? Is that point will come up next.
We go to four anyway, because Krishna says that mom and surrender unto me, that means surrender unto my order, same thing.
Yeah, so the reason is he's here. This is verse 73. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and prepared to act according to your instruction. So his instruction is to fight. So this surrender is a practical thing. It means it has to be there. We may say, okay, no, Krishna says to surrender. So then do that. Krishna does recommend that. He's only recommending Nishkam Karma Yoga because we may not be able to just surrender on the spot. So surrendering on the spot means surrendering on the spot. If we're going to interpret it that it just means leave all everything, we have to do that and not follow any religious principles. That means we just sit down and chant. We don't do anything that will create any kind of return, any fruit. Other than chanting and remembering Krishna. We will not endeavor in any way to get anything to eat. Because any endeavor then creates a fruit.
It's not surrender. Not complete. Then it's not still not complete. It's just, that's more or less selfish, isn't it? You're doing it for yourself.
Yeah. The point is that we want to do, yeah, that is the point. Is that we want to please Krishna. So therefore, following this just to follow it for ourselves, that will be given up. Or just totally for ourselves, leaving Krishna out of the picture. But even if we're doing it for Krishna in the picture, as Sri Prabhupada pointed out, he already showed us beginning stages of the devotional process that there's five kinds of liberation. Sayuja is rejected. And the other four, we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas also are not interested in. It's not bad. Those who want to go to Vaikuntha, they generally choose one of those specifically. Like the Madhvas, their thing is Swarupya, the same form as the world. That's their meditation. That's their particular kind of liberation they want, the Swarupya. So then, let us point out that it's all right, but we ourselves are going a step farther. We want to get into Vrindavan means you can't even desire liberation. Therefore, we're doing it just because this is what Krishna wants done. He wants this mission, and these are the ways that we're going to act in the mission. We're going to have to live, we're going to have to act, we're going to have to do all these things. But we understand that still, that surrender, and that may mature in this. Well, we don't have to follow, but still we follow. Now we surrender, but we have to follow to get there. As he says here, at that time I told you, whatever you do, whatever you eat, and told you that your qualification was for karma, Mr. Bhakti. You know, Nishkam Karma Yoga. However, by my special mercy, I've given you the qualification for unalloyed bhakti. So Prabhupada is constantly, especially in the jnana sections, those chapters, then he was very much always bringing out the point of hearing from the spiritual master, receiving the mercy of the spiritual master, working in the direction of the spiritual master. Like that. And in the center of the karma section, also when it was telling the basics how to follow that, then we had the Tad Vidhi Pratipatthena Parivarshaneva Sevya. So it's there. We have to follow. But this dharma here means dharma that's not connected to Krishna.
That surrender, which is going on right from the beginning of the process, isn't it?
Yes,
That's bhakti.
Right? Yeah, it's bhakti. That's what Vishwanath's point was before, is that it's bhakti, but because of so many material desires and conditioning, we don't see the bhakti. You know, he gives the example of you have so much gold and gems, but it mixes with so many beings. So therefore, we don't really, the gold and gems doesn't really stand out. But his point is this, means you can do one of two things. You can just take up pure unalloyed, you can basically come to the Brahman platform this second and just take the gems and all that gold out of the beings, or leave the beings. But generally we find that's not so easy. So the other system is take the beings out of the gold and gems.
First the karma beings, then the jnana beings. First the karma beings, then the jnana beings.
Yeah, and then the jnana beings. Then you are de-being. See, that's why Mr. Bean is still in the material world. Yes. The surrender basically means, it comes down to faith. The whole process is faith. So as the faith develops, then it goes through different stages. And then Krishna can reciprocate with that. You have these the other eight stages, which are basically just stages the faith goes through. You have some faith, then you want to know about God. You have more faith and associate with devotees. You have more faith than that, you actually surrender to the devotional process. More faith than that, you actually try to give up the anarthas, because you actually see that there is a goal and I have to get there. More faith than that, you become fixed. That's what Arjuna has mentioned here. My illusion is now gone. So that means that anartha. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt. Firm is nishtha. He's fixed and free from doubt. So illusion and doubts are gone. So in that position, now we're ready to preach. Now we're ready to do. Now we're ready to be Krishna's friend and act. So that's nishtha. Faith is more than there's a taste. Because now anarthas have gone and you're fixing more and more on Krishna. You get a taste for the process. Then, more than that, then you become attached to Krishna, a sakti. Then the faith is more than bhava, and when the faith fully matures, it turns into prema. So that is what's going on. The surrender is just the faith becoming stronger and stronger. So it's there from the beginning, otherwise it wouldn't be faith. So some surrender is there, it's just to what degree we're willing. And as we surrender, then Krishna says he'll reciprocate. If we go to Krishna just for facilities, then Krishna will reciprocate in that way. Give facilities when he feels it's good for us, and if it's not, he may take them away. Because as Hari, that is the danger. That is the unknown. The risk, yes, is that he can give with 10 hands, he can also take away with 10 hands. So it's like that. So he'll reciprocate that way. He says that when the devotee is, you know, becomes serious, or to make him serious, Krishna will take everything away. Like that. And then when one is not disturbed in that condition, one is not complaining, hey, why you took everything away? Then Krishna can give so much. But that's the point. It depends very much on us. We were mentioning about the reciprocation. But the point is that the first step has to be taken by us. Then Krishna will take so many steps after that. But we have to take that first step. So if we say, I surrender, and then Krishna takes everything away, then now it's, you know, we did our thing, he did his. Now it's back in our court again. Now, do we accept that, or do we get upset with Krishna? Why he's done this to me, and this and that, and this is not fair, and so many things. Then Krishna will reciprocate with that. Because now you're blaming Krishna, you become inimical towards Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate with that. We'll find that our taste in Krishna consciousness, everything just goes away. Right? But if it doesn't, then we see Krishna gives so much. And then if we become proud, he reciprocates with that pride. Okay, it's you. Okay, then go for it. You know, the gopis became proud. They're so qualified. They're with Krishna, the most fortunate. Oh, and then Krishna, oh, so you're the one that arranged all this. Huh? Okay, go for it. And he left. And then when they understood, no, they surrendered more to Krishna. And Krishna came back. He reciprocated with that. So during the whole process is there, like Ruchi, like you make that determination to get rid of the anartas, and then we become fixed in our Krishna consciousness. That's reciprocation. We make that endeavor to try to establish ourselves nicely in the chanting and the devotional process, and we get the taste. We try to fix our mind and everything more on Krishna, we become attached to Krishna. You know, we take it farther, and he reciprocates with transcendental ecstasy. We take it more farther, and then he reciprocates with prema. So, like this, the reciprocations are going on. But until we become personal, then he can't reciprocate so much personally. It's basically a ruchi where you're really dealing with the process, but it's not till a sakti that you're really dealing with Krishna himself personally. He's all the way through, you're dealing with Krishna, but and Krishna's dealing with us, but it's really where we are interested in him as a person, because he's a nice person. He's the nicest person we know. And we're attached to him as a person. Doesn't matter he's God or not. Just he is the nicest person we know. Then that's a sakti. Then from there, him, his qualities, then naturally he has him as a person, he does things, he has activities. So in his activities, there's other devotees there. And we appreciate them also. Because we may be attached to Krishna, but we don't want anybody else in the picture. Then we can't come into pastimes. You can't get past the super soul then, because that's the only place you'll find Krishna alone. You can't get past that. So one may sit there for some time. Therefore, it's only when the devotees themselves invite you, then you can actually come into the platform of Bhava. Because you're accepting the devotees are part of Krishna's whole. Him as a person, he performs his activities, he does that with devotees. Then only you can come to that platform by the devotees, the Lord's and the devotees' grace. Then when they see that you have the right attitude here, because you were in this platform before, you had the choice to see Krishna and Maya. Bhava is the place. You can see them both. Right? Below bhava, you're influenced by maya. Bhava, you're not influenced by maya. It is Brahma-bhuta. You're not in prema, you're not in maya. So their point is you were at this point before. An unlimited lifetimes of Brahma ago, you decided you wanted to be the enjoyer. And you wanted to enjoy all this spiritual nature that you're now looking at. So they want to test you out to see that you're not going to make the same mistake again. And when they see, no, this person doesn't do that. They work with them nicely. Okay, that they can say, you're in the spiritual realm, you're in your spiritual body, you're doing some spiritual services, you know, picking a few flowers or doing something like that. That's okay. That's very advanced and very special. But at the same time, as you haven't seen Krishna now enjoying these fruits of the devotee's activities. So once they see first that you work nicely, you know, you don't have some other motive for being there in the spiritual realm, then they'll show you Krishna from a distance. And then if you don't go, yeah, that's the guy, you know, and, you know, I want to be like that, then, you know, finished. But then if you become attracted and you like to serve, they'll bring you a little closer. And then when they see, you can see the pastimes and Krishna and all his intimate associates and them serving him and him enjoying, and you don't become envious, then they'll introduce you to Radha and Krishna. Right? Then after that, then they say, you know, why don't you stick around? You know? And then one moves into prema. And then into, one leaves the material body and one simply remains in the spiritual form. But it's all in reciprocating on our surrender, our faith. So that's what's going on in the whole process. It's all just the rasa. Krishna's testing. Krishna's testing, the devotees are testing. So Krishna's in the heart, he's testing there. When we get into the spiritual platform of bhava, then that Krishna in the heart is manifest in front of us. So then the devotees will attest. You know? He says here, I have violated my own rule that somehow or another one receives mercy of my pure devotee. Like that. But the pure devotees, then they recommend you to Krishna. Krishna here is this bypass that he himself directly is given. That's specific. This is, one can see that specifically for Arjuna. You know, as Prabhupada points out, is that someone maybe by their wonderful activities and achievements, even though they never went to school, you know, some big university may bestow upon them, you know, a doctorate. But he says, you don't depend upon that. He says, you work. You go out and do something for Krishna. You don't just sit around and just think, you know, I'll just sit down and do nothing and pray and maybe Krishna will just bestow upon me prema bhakti. But we actually endeavor. We make the endeavor to follow the process. So here, Arjuna, Pati. He got his professorial ship. Does that make some sense? Sometimes that's the way it works. By us surrendering. Here's the point is that we're reciprocating with him, we're remembering him. That's it. That's the thing that we're seeing. Is that we want to please, we're doing something to please Krishna, and that pleases him. Because we have to remember, you know, from the jnana section, that we're not doing anything, we're only desiring. And then Krishna sanctioned the modes of nature actually doing it. So therefore, what pleases Krishna is just that sincere desire to please him. please him, please the spiritual master, please the devotees. That's what pleases him, because everything else he's taken care of anyway. So the point is that Janaya Vaz pointed out this aspect of, you know, first we engage the karma and the jnana, and then both of these are gotten rid of, is that then we're doing it not because, well, it's because Krishna's pulling all the strings. No, it's because we like Krishna. We want to please Krishna. It's not that, okay, we're trying to please Krishna because we know he's the one that sanctions everything we do anyway and gets it done through this. We're just the 10,000 the tip of the hair, so we can't do anything anyway. So, you know, we like to do things, so then we should appreciate the person who's, you know, be grateful for who's arranging stuff for us. But that's the formality, that's the knowledge. But actually, ultimately, what one has to come to is the point is that we're pleasing, we want to please Krishna just because we like Krishna. It pleases him, therefore we're doing it. Is that a bit better? You want deeper than that, then you have to ask the two transcendental brothers who would be able to speak from realization. We are speaking at best from the classroom of jnana, but from the theoretical side of the jnana. Means knowledge has two sides, the applied side, which is the qualities that Krishna talks about as knowledge, and then we have the theory of that. So we're still working from the theory. If you want some realization, we'll speak to them. But as will be pointed out here, then you might have to speak to them not in the broad assembly, because Krishna says here in text 67, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So here is for understanding this confidential knowledge, then you have to make sure that those who are not austere, devoted, not engaged in devotional service, or who are envious are not around. Then they will be able to reveal the real deep meanings that are not revealed here. So then Prabhupada mentions in his purports on these verses, generally it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed among the devotees only. For those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional stage of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. That's from his purport to 68. Then, from the last one, about the pious. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it is so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class, and in that class not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once freed from all sinful reactions, and after that attain to the planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the results of righteous activities. Thus a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. That was the purport to this last verse. And Bhurijan mentions here, not only one who studies, but one who even hears Bhagavad Gita, as long as he hears without envy, is greatly benefited. Krishna gives such preferential treatment to one who preaches Bhagavad Gita, especially to those who preach to the devotees, or to anyone who will listen in proper consciousness. Therefore, we should all hear, study, explain, and preach Bhagavad Gita, and become dear to Krishna. Although we are most unqualified, Krishna reserves special mercy for those who preach Bhagavad Gita. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. There's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So this point is that then this gives the point how one can have open classes and all that. Certainly those who are really not favorable will get up and leave anyway. But point is one, if one finds that the audience is such that they're not interested, or you meet a person who just doesn't want to hear it, then it should not be explained. Because that also then is an offense to the holy name, to explain the glories of the holy name, or the glories of the devotional process, or Krishna to someone who is not at all interested. So this means those who are neutral, those who are, who accept Krishna as the Lord, like in India, that many people, they accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They're not in any way endeavoring for pure devotional service. They're just being pious and doing their duties, which Krishna says, somehow knows to them that's all there is in the shloka. They miss out on the part mafaleshu kadachana. But whatever, they follow their prescribed duties and do this. So you have that. You have a pandal in Lake Prabhupada. You have a pandal in Calcutta, Delhi, Bombay. 10,000, 20,000 people come. All those people are not endeavoring to pure devotional service, but they're willing to hear. So they come, they hear. And then from this, they are relieved from all sinful reactions, and they'll attain to the higher planets, where the pious dwell, the righteous dwell. So they'll go there. Then later they'll come back, born in aristocratic families, so they can again take it up. As long as they're doing it like this, slowly, slowly they'll progress. And if not, then they'll turn away and become Narottamas and go down. Therefore, India is very special. It's all these aristocratic families and all this. They're all persons who have done some service. Heard Gita, done a little something, but not necessarily so much. So they're born again. So they're all devotees. That was interesting. That Bhagavatam report, the one before the Supranati, that one. Then it's said there very directly, those born in aristocratic families is because of bhakti, their performance of bhakti. So that means anyone, they're all. So that's how Prabhupada would say, basically, India is devotees. They're all. Maybe they don't identify or know it. Maybe they weren't so strong in their understandings, or they became deviated and not so personal. Even they're born in personalist families, you know, aristocratic families, righteous families. But it's because of bhakti they've gotten that position. They don't take birth in an aristocratic family from being a Maila. That you go to hell. So being born in aristocratic families is when you come down from the heavenly planets. Like that. That's how you end up there. Like that. Then 72. O Sanaplita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? So then Bhurijan points out, Krishna the teacher asks Arjuna the student, have you understood? Have you heard properly? That Krishna asks this because out of affection, he has affection for his surrendered student. He wants to know. Gurujan points out here, he is prepared to explain the entire Gita again. He hasn't. He wants to know. Have you understood? Then Arjuna makes this point. We discussed it before. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions. So Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.19 explains, in the beginning, Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desire self-satisfaction, for he desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. But to make him desireless, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and also Bhakti Yoga were explained. Because Arjuna was without pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight. Parishye vachanam tava, and thus he became desireless. This also then would be an answer to the question that Krishna, to make Arjuna desireless, preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of karma, jnana, and yoga are explained, but how to do them to become desireless. How to become desireless. And also bhakti, so that you know what is your goal, and know what is it that what you were actually doing. So we perform devotional service, but because we have desire, we use the tools of karma, yoga, jnana yoga, and this hatha yoga, astanga yoga, to free ourselves from desire, which means material desire. So we're only fixed in spiritual desire, devotional desire. So bhakti is the goal, that's what we want. But because we still have material attachment, we have to free ourselves from that. So we're supposed to be chanting and thinking of Krishna, becoming more and more attached to Krishna, and then we automatically let go here. But sometimes that doesn't work. As Prabhupada gives the story of the marriage party in the boat. And they've been rowing in the boat all night, but they got nowhere because the anchor was in. They were rowing, no doubt. But the anchor is in. Therefore, even though they're chanting, they're reading, they're doing all the devotional activities, the progress is very slow because we're so attached to the material nature. So therefore, the karma yoga, the jnana yoga, the hatha yoga, these things free us from that. It frees us. Then we actually make progress. So the simultaneous, therefore, as points out, is jnana and vairag. One can understand one's advancement by jnana and vairag. How much knowledge and realization is there, and how much detachment from the material nature is there. But even if ultimately that jnana goes, vairag is already done. But then even that jnana goes, then it's devotion for Krishna. But we can understand is that your vairag is how much you are performing your prescribed duties in a detached way, how well you're becoming situated in this karma yoga, and your jnana, how much you're understanding this knowledge. Then we understand we're advancing in the process of becoming desireless, or through the stages of nishkam karma yoga and jnana yoga. Okay. So the vairaga is done by the karma, and the jnana is done by the jnana yoga. So these two combined, one advances. So that's how we become desireless. Then, text 74. Sanjaya said, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. By the mercy of Vyasa, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure in being thrilled at every moment. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. So then Bhurijan points out that Prabhupada in his purports in these verses brings out that Sanjaya is able to hear by the mercy of Vyasadeva, by the mercy of his spiritual master. And then he... Yeah. And then he describes here the result. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened, and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. And then in text 77, Prabhupada says that Sanjaya enjoyed remembering that wonderful universal form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna, and that by remembering it again and again, he enjoyed it repeatedly. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ends his commentary after the 73rd verse, which means when Arjuna says, "I am now firm and free from doubt and prepared to act according to your instructions." So these last ones with Sanjaya up to the end, there's no commentary on it. And then Vishwanath mentions why here. He says, "I made a commentary on the following five verses," means 74 through 78. "In which are found the essential purpose of the entire Gita. But Lord Ganesh sent his mouse carrier to steal the two pages I had written. Not wanting to interfere, I have not rewritten those pages. Let Lord Ganesh be pleased. Obeisances to him. Thus I complete the Sararta Varshani, commentary on the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. May it please the saintly devotees. May this sweet Sararta Varshani, the commentary that rains down the essential meaning, give delight to the Chataka birds who are the Lord's devotees all over the world. And may its sweetness also shine in my own heart." So he ends his, that ends his commentary there. And then text 78. "Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion." So now, yeah, the beginning of the Gita. Then Dhritarashtra is saying, you know, what's happening? What are my sons and the sons of Pandu? How's it going? Everything. So basically here now Sanjaya is given his opinion in the end is, you know, it's, you know, forget it. You might as well give up. You know, it's a lost cause. So here Sanjaya's answer. Dhritarashtra give up hope. Victory belongs to the Pandavas because Krishna favors their side. Then Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan ends his Gita Bhushana, the ornament of the Bhagavad Gita, with the following words. "Having obtained the boat of the Lord's desire, I have submerged myself in the sea of Bhagavad Gita, where I have collected many very wonderful gems of its purports. Due to my great feelings of joy, I cannot raise myself out of the sea. I only hope that the cunning son of Nanda is pleased with me. I, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, have with great effort compiled this commentary named Sri Gita Bhushana. May the saintly devotees correct any faults it contains. They are always eager to taste the sweetness of pure love for Sri Govinda, and their hearts are always melting with compassion." And then Prabhupada sums up the message of the entire Gita in the final paragraph of his Bhaktivedanta Purport. "The living entity in his original position is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact either with the material energy or with the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency." Yes. It says, by proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. So if we work under the internal potency, that is the normal position. So that ends the overview of the Bhagavad Gita. is the end to the Bhagavad Gita overview. Huh? What is the question? Understanding the question itself is it. Krishna throughout the Gita is saying we should surrender unto him. But then, what do you say, John?
And Prabhupada here also is training us to surrender to Krishna to his holy spirit.
Yes.
But from my understanding, the result is that we become the maid servant of Radharani. So why are we surrendering on the
earth? You heard that?
Coming from the feminist side.
Huh?
Coming from the feminist side.
Oh, I see this.
Please, you may not have any wood.
We also do.
Huh?
Mindful, we also do. Also do, yes. Here we're living in Ishodhyana. So Isha means Radharani. So this forest is Radharani's forest. See, Krishna is complete in himself. And means he is everything. So then he manifests, he can be there himself and be Adhanarama, fully satisfied. But to expand his pleasure, then he expands the internal potency. And in this way then reciprocates with that internal potency in loving exchanges. That increases his love. So we see what is happening is Krishna is being, he is pleased on himself. He doesn't need anything else to please him. But when he expands the internal potency, it becomes more pleasing. Then, of the internal potency, then the most pleasing is Srimati Radharani. So if we really want to surrender the best to Krishna and please him the most by that surrender, then we assist in the Vrindavan pastimes under Radharani's direction. Because she knows best how to please Krishna. Krishna is the complete personality of Godhead and she is the complete internal potency. She's the Sarup Shakti, the complete form of Krishna's internal potency. So that means whatever Krishna's mood is, she knows that exactly. All other personalities are expanding from her, so that means they only know a part of it. Mother Jashoda only knows part of how to please Krishna. You know, and only part of Krishna's moods. You know, Subal, Sridham, they only know part. The cows know part, Nanda Baba knows part. Because they're all expanding from the internal potency. But Radharani knows everything. So that means every little detail of what Krishna wants to enjoy, she knows exactly. And she arranges. Therefore, assisting her means pleasing Krishna in the greatest way. So if we want to surrender to Krishna and please him the most, then that is what's recommended. Therefore, the devotees of Braja are so dear, because they're working under Vrindavan Ishvara. Radharani is, orchestrating the whole scene. So that answers it. Otherwise, it has to go much more technical.
Seems that when we give up attachment and envy, it seems that attachment and envy are the causes of the defense system. And then, if we follow Nishkam Dharma Yoga, then that's like pulling the anchor out of attachment. But how do you extract? expect the envy, because the envy seems to be there right up to the point where you're even starting to receive this for Krishna. And, you know, they're not introducing you immediately to Krishna because they're envy in their school. So how do you actually, you know, I've heard some story about one exalted devotee just, you know, giving Bhagavatam Dasa, and then one lady there, Das, she's actually exalted personality, and she was chanting. So then, and then he criticized her for chanting. And then she said, I can't help it, it's my time of passing the class for immense. So then he fell down from that position.
It wasn't for the first pointing it out. It wasn't for first pointing it out.
He
became angry that he felt she was not on that position.
Right. So then how do you actually remove that
anger? I mean, for us, practically, that's what this whole jnana section is for. Means the karma section, means your Nishkam Karma Yoga has two parts, karma and jnana. So the karma section means that we take what we're attached to, but do those things without the attachment. And then the gyan side then deals with, we're not the controller, we're not the enjoyer, we're not the doer. You know, like that, all that, you know, when it ends with Sri Dham Sarva Bhutanam. Bhokaram Yagatapa Samsarva Lokamahishvam Sri Dham Sarva Bhutanam. You become desireless because you understand Krishna is the controller of everything, he's the enjoyer of everything, he's actually everyone's friend. So that jnana gives us that vision and understanding. Then we understand who we are, that we're soul, and we understand that he is the supreme soul. Like that. So that starts to whittle down on that.
But even like the person is to we just understand we are soul, we don't understand the supreme soul. They'll come to
that platform of Brahma Bhuta,
right.
But they don't come to the platform of Baba.
See,
Brahma Bhuta is right on the junction between Baba and Asakti. For us. For them it's just on when it's between jnana and that's just after jnana. The perfect jnana culminates in that, because for them they don't have the devotional process, they're not performing bhakti, so you won't have those comparisons. But when they come to the culmination of the jnana, then they understand their Brahman, and then they act on that platform. But for the devotee, he knows Krishna's there, so he just keeps going. The impersonalist doesn't know Krishna's there, so he stops. Or one who worships Paramatma, he goes up to that point and stops, because he doesn't know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one must know that. So this is how we start to work on that. But as our faith grows, we start to become more and more affectionate towards Krishna as a person, and all that, then we accept him as the enjoyer and all those things.
Also to become friends.
See, because here, what is left is the idea that I am advanced. You know? So that is kind of like we're waiting for that to go away. You know, when you give up the idea that I'm an advanced devotee, then because of being situated in Baba, then only you can go to prema. So that's how it'll be. You're accepting Krishna, but you're still thinking of having advanced devotee to respect. So that pride then is not pleasing to Krishna. So because it's not pleasing to Krishna, therefore the devotees can't bring you any closer to Krishna. Because Krishna will go away anyway. The gopis are right there and he went away. So they can't bring someone of a lower standard before Krishna and expect that he will bless them with prema. So that's how it's manifesting for the devotee.
Is that can we also given up by becoming a friend of all living entities? He's giving this, giving him Krishna consciousness when he's about Krishna.
Yes, because you're doing what Krishna likes, what he wants to do. And you're doing it under his order. The whole process is doing this. The whole process is getting rid of that envy. Main thing is envy boils down to envy is Krishna is the Lord and I is a servant. So when envy is gone, then we accept that I am the Lord's servant. So then that manifests on that platform, Baba, as in the spiritual form, performing those activities. But still, until they see that you are completely free from any of envy, then the relationship can't mature. So they have to check. It's their business. Because Krishna only accepts us as a servant of servant. Because when you get up to that platform, all the lead positions are already taken. That's all. There's no space for another leader. Means you can, if you want to be sidelined into some unheard of, you know, pastimes or something, and some what you never, then Krishna will arrange. If you want to be some big maha, you can. But if you want to assist Krishna, means what we would discuss with Mataji, is if you want to give more pleasure to Krishna, then you'll serve those who know how to give the most pleasure. We can only give a little pleasure. That's all. So therefore, that means that the main position is already taken. Radharani is already there. Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mayi are already there. Sridhar Subal, Madhu Mangal, you know, they're already there. You know, his favorite cows are already there. You know, Madhavendra Puri is the main Kalpa Bhikshu tree is already there. So we can become servants of these devotees. So Krishna is only accepting us when we're servants of the servants. Therefore, his principle is that only when the servants give, then I give. But here Arjuna, because he's eternally with Krishna, is Narayana. The two of them together are the Lord's avatar. He's the Lord and his devotee. Therefore, here Krishna gives because he is the next one up. In their rasa, there's only the two of them. So it's natural that Krishna will bypass this rule of that without getting the mercy of the pure devotees, because there is no one in between. Like that. Therefore, it happens with him. But for everyone else, you must get the blessings of those devotees that are between Krishna and us. The residents of Vrindavan, you have to get their mercy, then that will connect. And those residents have come as servants of Lord Chaitanya. And their most confidential associates are then coming as the acharyas and writing these commentaries that we are hearing. So when they give their mercy, then we're going to come to that platform. Did I hear the Hulu dwellings? It says time. So, thank you.
This is defeated your logic.
Huh?
You defeated your logic in your next sentence when you were saying you should see Ankajangi for it. The next thing Krishna said is that one who speaks this message is more, he preaches to the devotees is more than there will never be any other one here.
But we are only sitting here out of the, as we say, insistence of the two of you. Because then you are getting us to follow our prescribed duties of studying and speaking. So out of your, how to say, compassion and broad vision, you understood that we were not properly engaged in our prescribed duties in Nishkam Karma Yoga. And now you have engaged us in this way, and so we are greatly benefited.
And how can you give up your prescribed duties?
you don't have to worry about that coming any too soon. Of course.
Does that mean tomorrow there'll be another class?
No, we're finished here. So we're, so we're finished. This is, the book's finished. Unless you want to go back and read the appendices again.
About the analysis.
Ah, yes. I'll have to find it. Then.
You're making your house out of the mountain.
Yeah?
Making your house out of the mountain. What is that position?
Yes. That means here, just what Krishna says. Right here. Here. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and the end he will come back to me. There's no sir in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So that is your position. I'm only doing it because you've insisted. So under your mercy, then we are performing our prescribed duties.
It's setting the dawn. Every word is a song. We have perfect example fights. We have sung the songs for beautiful words. Thank you. That's such a mind from the beautiful.
Thank you.
Well,
I'm going to keep the job. I'm going to keep the job.